The Henry Raines Show, only on News Talk 820.
And I ain't no communist.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Henry Raines Show here on News Talk 820 WWBA. Live audio stream and webcam are up and running at the website 820wwba.com or newstalk820.com. Both of them will get you there. I'll tell you how you can listen to archives of the show shortly. But what's on the agenda today? Well, healthcare overhaul is the law of the land. But that's not if Bill McCollum has his way. He wants to join with the other attorney generals around the country and overturn the healthcare administration. And he looked around for the best law firm to help him do that, and he picked his old law firm.
No, say it isn't so.
And that voice is Jim Delgado. Jim, hi.
Hi. You're talking about Charlie Crist, right?
We'll get to Charlie Crist. We're going to get to all this stuff. World at War continues. In Afghanistan, as our Afghanistan military deaths now are climbing at double the rate they were a year ago. The wounded rate is triple the rate of a year ago. And we will, in just a few minutes, actually, we have a guest scheduled in the first hour. State Senator Paula Dockery will be calling into the show. And she, of course, is running for the Republican nomination for governor against Bill McCollum. Lots of interesting things to talk to her about. And speaking of the governor, as in Charlie Crist, well, it was like a steel cage match. It was like a hardcore barbed wire exploding ring match. I'm not talking about WrestleMania 26 tonight. I'm talking about the Fox Smackdown of Charlie Crist versus Marco Rubio. Sunday morning with Chris Wallace. Oh, Jim, I know you didn't catch the first couple minutes of it, but
I appreciate you waking me up for the last 40 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. They came right out of the box, smacking each other over the head with verbal baseball bats, with steel chair innuendos, with body slamming hype. Anyway,
each one wanting to be more Ronald Reagan than the next. No, I'm Ronald Reagan.
Will the real Ronald Reagan please stand
up? There's a lot
of names. I don't think he's going to be doing that.
They're talking little Jeb. You know, in other words, you know, I've got more.
I'm Jeb.
Nobody was George. Nobody wants to be W.
Well, that gets to our second hour when I
nobody wants to be
elaborate on Barack Obama turning into... Actually, his foreign policy is less like the second George Bush
more like the
term.
First.
No. I mean, talking about George W. Bush.
No, I know.
Second term where George actually smacked down Dick Cheney a little bit. Right. But more like the first term where all those neocons... We're pushing the foreign policy. We'll get into that. It's something I've been trying to build the case for over the last week or two. But first things first, we got to get a sample in of the Rubio Crist smackdown before Ms. Dockery comes on the show and we start talking about some of the state issues. Nick, if you would, let's start that first clip.
Why is this relevant in a race for the U.S. Senate?
Well, if trust and confidence in an individual, what they say and what they do isn't relevant, then I don't know what is. It's very important that people who put themselves up for public office understand that they're asking for the trust of those individuals they're asking to vote for them. The speaker just misspoke yet again. He said all these things have been accounted for. There are $34,000 in expenses from that $600,000 slush fund that have not been accounted for. We don't know where the money went. We don't know what happened to it. And the speaker won't tell us. You know, he claims that it's all accounted for, that these allegations are not true. They're absolutely true.
Ooh, smack him, Charlie.
Know, the other thing that I think we need to talk about here today is the fact that the Speaker continues to tell us that he wants to work for the people. He wants to be a good conservative. I think we can both agree we're both good conservatives. But what he has also done is he's utilized funds, double dipping, as you mentioned earlier, for plane flights. You know, thousands of dollars where he billed the taxpayers of Florida. He also billed the Republican Party of Florida. Oh. Only after he was caught did he take the step, at least he's told us he has,
red-handed,
to go ahead and repay the party. I thought he should have repaid the taxpayers.
Yeah.
That's who he worked for. It's a real simple difference.
Let me ask you to respond to that, and also to the question as to whether
you are amending
your tax returns, Mr. Rubio, to reflect some of these questionable finances.
Well, let's talk about those for a second. All of that money has been accounted for.
I wish we would have done a better job of reporting this, no doubt about it, and I'll be the first to admit it.
But it has all been accounted for. As far as the flights are concerned, even the chairman of our party has said that they were inadvertent. Now, let me talk about
this election is about trust.
Who do you trust to go to Washington and stand up to Barack Obama and offer a clear alternative? In 2006, Governor, I voted for you because I trusted you when you said you would be a Jeb Bush Republican. Your record was something very different. You signed a budget that raised taxes. You tried to oppose a cap-and-trade system in Florida. You appointed liberal Supreme Court justices to our Supreme Court.
Who was liberal Supreme Court justice? Justice Perry, who Jeb Bush appointed to the court originally.
You not only did that,
liberal,
in addition
back,
to that, you worked with Acorn and groups like that to give felons voting rights in Florida. And finally, you campaigned with Barack Obama on behalf of a failed stimulus program. So it is about trust.
Who
do you trust to go to Washington and stand up to Barack
Obama?
Charlie, I like the speaker, Chris, if I might. I like the speaker said that I would utilize those stimulus funds in order to help the people of my state. He admitted he would do the same thing.
Let me interrupt, if I might, because we're going to get to that right now.
All right. This goes on and on. But
Rubio didn't answer any of the questions, by the way.
What about those tax returns, Marco?
He really is good about deflecting and going back to his pocket points. He's very good.
Look at some of the things he accused Charlie of. He's the biggest tax hike, or I don't know if you said the biggest ever, but...
How did he vote, Henry? How did Marco Rubio vote?
Wasn't that the cigarette tax?
Mm.
Isn't that sort of a voluntary tax? I know it doesn't seem voluntary to the people that are addicted to cigarettes, but there is a way to avoid having to pay that tax.
Quit smoking.
Yes. And maybe you'll help cut down on some of our Medicaid costs.
Cut some of the health care costs.
And then he wanted to impose a cap and trade. Didn't Marco Rubio support the cap and trade legislation that was at the state level?
Ding, ding, ding. So in other words, I'm against everything I voted for. Because now I'm a teabagger.
No, I got it. That's not a nice term to use.
Henry...
Tea Party activist.
No, hold on a second, Henry.
You know what the teabagger means.
No, I didn't. Wait, let's be honest here. What are they wearing on their hats?
They're just pictures of some people that
wore. They're wearing teabags on their hats.
I still don't like using the homoerotic reference on them.
Hey, man, they started... Henry, that's their problem.
No.
They wear teabags, they should be called teabaggers.
That's because they didn't realize what it was, but more aware people do.
It's not my fault they didn't know how to use the internet.
All right. Well,
my question to you is, are they using teabags or not as a symbol?
Not anymore.
I saw it all over the place.
All right.
I saw a little teabag sticker. Come on.
Anyway.
You own it. They got to own what they are.
Later on. All right. You say what you want to say, but I'm still going to call you out for using a homoerotic reference to
Tea Party
activists. I don't
know
a
homoerotic reference, for one thing.
Yes,
I didn't
is.
Have a clue.
Yeah.
Well, they shouldn't wear teabags.
And let's go ahead and try and get this next clip in about the health care, whether Rubio would repeal it in the Senate, which is silly because Barack Obama is just going to veto anything like that.
Right.
And we'll try and get to the caller, but if Senator Dockery comes in, we're going to have to get to her. But let's go ahead and hear Rubio being asked about the health care bill.
Mr. Rubio, now that the health care reform bill is law, would you, if you go to Washington, work to repeal it? How would you do it, given the fact that Barack Obama will still be president and could veto a repeal? And I want to ask you about an article that you wrote last December. Ooh. Let's put it up on the screen. Any solution should ultimately seek to promote a vibrant private market where individuals can buy health insurance the way we buy auto insurance, independent of our employer, with the kind of flexibility and coverage we need and at affordable prices.
This
Rubio would move away from an employer-based health...
Now, isn't that what the exchanges do? Isn't that where we're going to have a competitive marketplace? It's one of the things there's lots I don't like about the bill, but one of the things that is good is actually creating a marketplace for people to buy health insurance. And I think individuals and small businesses can do it.
Isn't that what Congress does?
Isn't that what Rubio just wrote?
Yeah. He's against it.
A little confusing. Let's get just a little bit more on that, and then we'll try and get the caller in.
Insurance system?
Well, it's not about moving away. It's about providing an alternative to it. And let me first tell you about this bill. There are so many things wrong with this bill. We don't have enough time.
What you're talking about?
In the health care bill.
Okay.
There's so much time. We don't have enough time to talk about it, whether it's tricky accounting or other. But here's the main one. We can't
afford
the bill when the true numbers are applied to it, add to our debt, and bring us closer to insolvency as a nation. So we have to move away from it. The solutions are like those that were outlined in that article that you pointed to a moment ago. It's about allowing individuals to have the same tax benefits that their employer gets when they try to buy insurance from a marketplace. It's about allowing small businesses to pool together to buy insurance coverage and to do so across state lines. It's about tort reform. It's about lawsuit abuse reform that will help lower the cost of health insurance.
Put him down for the moment.
I still didn't get the answer. But
we're not going to have much time before the break, but I guess if you want. Lawrence, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Henry. Good afternoon, Counselor. I'll try to be brief. Counselor, you claim that you did not know that teabagger was a sexually or homosexual act.
Not until afterwards. That's correct.
Not until afterwards.
Not as worldly as us, Lawrence.
No, time out. Not after I found out on television about 3 days after that came out that what teabagger meant. If they're going to come out with teabags, they have to own it, Lawrence. I'm not going to quit calling them teabaggers, Lawrence. I'm not going to do it. That's what they're wearing. That's their symbol. They got to own it.
All right, we got to wrap it up.
So what you're saying is that you didn't know, but now that you do know, that you think it's appropriate.
Now I think it's funny. I think it's funny.
How about snorkeling?
I don't even know what snorkeling means either.
We're not going to go into different behavior on the public radio.
Look, Henry, you guys out there, let me make it quick. If you're going to use that as your symbol and you're going to wear it and you didn't do the research on it, you didn't know what it meant, I'm sorry. You're a teabagger.
Well, I will not use that term for him.
Well,
you do what you want to do.
You're on 820. I
think it's offensive and it disrespects people that are actually populist and active and trying to do something. They can be wrong on the issues, but I still will show them the respect for trying to make their country better.
All right.
Now, coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to speak to Republican gubernatorial candidate and state senator Paula Dockery, and we won't even ask about these questions. Tommy in St. Pete, I'm sorry we're not going to get to you, but feel free to call back and ask Senator Dockery questions. 866-977-4820, if that's what you want to do. 866-977-4820. Get on board and get in line to speak with State Senator Paula Dockery. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820.
This portion of The Henry Raines Show is brought to you by Callens, Little & Delgado, a full-service law firm practicing personal injury, family, criminal defense, and immigration law.
Tampa Bay, log on to newstalk820.com.
I'm Scott Callens from the law firm of Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal. During this season of high roadway traffic, you need to be extra cautious. You should know that Harvard researchers have concluded that cell phone use while driving increases your likelihood of being injured in a car accident by 4 times. Reduce your chances of injury by driving a bit slower and by pulling from the roadway when you must use your cell phone. You'll arrive at your destination safely, and your caller will appreciate the attention that you've given them. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we help people who have been injured by careless drivers. If you or your loved ones have been injured in an accident, you may have questions. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we want to help. There's no charge to meet with us, and our fees are based on a percentage of what we recover for you. Call us at 941-749-1446. Let us help answer your questions. Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, 941-749-1446, or reach us at makeempay.net.
Hi, I'm Kevin Klein. I'd like to tell you what the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International is all about.
curing diabetes and its complications. The JDRF Walk to Cure Diabetes raises millions of dollars to fund the finest, most advanced diabetes research the world has to offer. So bring your family, your friends. All you got to do is walk. I'm ready. Are you?
To find a walk or donate to JDRF, log on to JDRF.org. Together, we will find a cure.
In these uncertain economic times, does your company need the expertise of a senior-level CFO or controller, but there's no room in your budget to hire a full-time professional?
We have the solution.
Consider Hoffman Business Services for your part-time CFO and accounting needs. We'll give you dedicated financial management at the scale you need.
Whether it's daily, weekly, or monthly.
We offer superior accounting and finance guidance with knowledge accumulated from over 25 years in both public and private sectors. Our services include strategic financial analysis, monitoring and improving cash flow,
preparation of financial plans and models,
documentation and development of policies and procedures leading to improved internal control, preparation and monitoring of budgets and forecasts, and of course, tax preparation for businesses and individuals. We're also specialists in not-for-profit accounting and tax preparation. Hoffman Business Services can help you take your company to the next level. Call 813-421-4002
or visit us at hoffmanbusiness.com.
Hoffman Business Services, 813-421-4002.
Cable TV rates continue to skyrocket faster and faster. The profit on the cable giants has pushed consumers around enough. You don't have to stand for it anymore. It's time to push back, cut the cable, and get Dish Network installed for free with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. It's just $19.99 a month for an entire year, and you'll also get over 50 HD stations and a high-definition digital video recorder upgrade for free. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network installed for free and get over 15 premium channels, including HBO and Showtime, free for 3 months. So pick up the phone and call 800-840-4370. Just imagine all your favorite TV shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At $19.99, it's like giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-840-4370. That's 800-840-4370. Again, 800-840-4370.
It's the Henry Rain Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA. Again, to get the live stream and the back and forth between Jim and I and Nick trying to referee it all from the control room, you go to 820WWBA.com or NewsTalk820.com. The archives of the show are available at HenryRainShow.podomatic.com. HenryRainShow.podomatic.com. And besides archives of this show, you'll be able to get the weekly segment I do on the Captain's America radio show, heard on 78 stations around the U.S. and beyond. Before we go to our guest, I just want to do a quick headline here because it highlights the problem that governors are facing throughout the United States, whether we talk about California or in this case, Illinois. State House backs four-day school week. Proponents say option would help struggling school districts. In an effort to help strap school districts save money, the House of the State of Illinois on Monday approved a bill that would let local school boards set four-day weeks for students. The bill passed the House overwhelmingly, an 81-21 vote. That is the Illinois State House, not the Florida House.
Right.
Our next guest is served as a representative for the district over in the Lakeland area. Now she's the state senator, and she's running for the Republican gubernatorial nomination. She worked in the insurance industry. She attended the University of Florida. She has made a reputation as a Republican that has been supportive in the environment. She's received awards from the Audubon, the Nature Conservancy, the Sierra Club, Florida Oceans Alliance, the Trust for Public Lands. She's received commendations from agricultural groups like the Florida Farm Bureau, Florida Cattlemen's Association, Florida Forestry, business groups, governmental, good government groups, etc. Don't want to waste too much time on this. I'm sure she'll help us discover more about herself and why she would be, why she believes she would be the best choice for governor. State Senator Paula Dockery, thank you for joining us here on the Henry Rain Show.
My pleasure being with you.
And I have Attorney Jim Delgado in the studio, too.
Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
And one of the reasons I wanted to get State Senator Dockery on the show today is about 2 weeks ago we were talking in depth about the bill that at that time was still in committee in Tallahassee in the Senate that the Senate President John Thrasher had been promoting and sponsoring. and it passed through the committee, the education reform, that is, and now it's been voted on by the full Florida Senate, and it passed. But I saw something unusual. In what could have been a straight party line vote, there were three Republicans that took a stand against the bill, and one was Senator Paula Dockery. And so let me say, first of all, Senator, that I thought that was a pretty gutsy vote to go against your Republican Senate president on that. Tell us why you did it.
Well, thanks. Can I correct a couple things in that?
I'll probably make a lot more mistakes, so okay. You correct whatever you want.
Senator Thrasher is not the Senate president, that's Senator Atwater, but he was just elected to be the chairman of the Republican Party of Florida.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's a new senator. He was a House member for many years, was a Speaker of the Florida House, and then he went into the lobbying corps, and now he just ran and won the Senate seat back.
So he's going to control purse strings, so it even gets your vote.
He is, yeah. And those purse strings are something I might need some help with. Also, there were four Republicans that voted no. And the interesting thing, and don't ask me to name names, but the interesting thing is I asked other Republicans before the vote what they thought of the bill, and they told me that they didn't like it and they would like to vote no, but didn't feel that they could. So, and there were five of them. So had those five also voted no, we only needed two more for the bill to fail. So there were at least nine Republicans who would have liked to vote no, and four of us did in fact vote no.
And for listeners that may have just found the show, if they've been listening the last couple of weeks, they know about this bill and some of my issues with it. Tell us what you didn't like about the education reform bill.
Sure. You know, as a Republican, I do believe that good teachers or exceptional teachers ought to be paid more than teachers who don't go that extra mile. So I'm somewhat supportive, or you could say very supportive, of some type of merit pay. But merit pay means rewarding good teachers, in my mind. Also, in terms of tenure, I do believe, like in any other job or position that you could have, that if you're not doing your job well, that you shouldn't have protected status. So I'm even in favor of a tenure program that says, you know, as long as you're performing adequately or well, that you should maintain your position. But if you're not, we shouldn't be keeping teachers that, you know, are past their prime or whose heart isn't in it or who aren't doing a good job in the process. But that's not what this bill did. This bill was punitive to all teachers. And it was basically taking an entire group of professionals and saying to them, you need to be judged not on your actions or your credentials or your advancement of your own degree by going on for an advanced degree, but you're going to be judged on the actions of others. And that is, depending on what students get assigned to your class, it doesn't matter if they show up for class or not. It doesn't matter what they're going through in their personal lives. It doesn't matter how bad their home life might be. Your career is going to be judged on the actions of others. And that's just not right. That's not a Republican principle. That's not a conservative principle. We believe in people being responsible for their own actions, not the actions of others.
Now, what about the provision in the bill to create a requirement for a high school diploma that the student must pass geometry and algebra 2, as well as physics, chemistry, biology, and another rigorous science? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think we need to recognize that every student can learn, but not every student is meant to go on to a career path that requires college, and that we should start allowing children to excel at what they're naturally good at and to go to the level of education that they're comfortable with and that they think that they can do well at. And some kids are going to do much better going a career path that's technical or vocational and don't need to be going into a college career path. So, you know, I think we need to recognize that like many other nations do and many other states do.
We're speaking with State Senator Paula Dockery. She's running for the Republican gubernatorial nomination. Her website is peopleforpaula.com. peopleforpaula.com. My thoughts on a lot of these measures in this bill, and we'll have to get your thoughts on the other side of the break as well as other uses of the taxpayer money, is it's like a stealth budget cut for the schools without having to take responsibility for it. You know, you're going to have an increased dropout rate in poor communities where this is not, as you said, the career track for some of them. I'd like to see better standards for English and economics and just general living your life out there. Yeah, maybe some critical thinking. But so we're going to have less kids in the poor schools. We're going to have a disincentive for teachers to teach in poor district schools. And it seems to me if you play it out, you're going to have less schools in poor neighborhoods, and you're going to have a stealth budget cut. We'll find out what Senator Paula Dockery thinks on the other side of the break. Jim Delgado will get into the conversation, too, here. And we invite you to call at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show.
This portion of the Henry Raine Show is brought to you by Canada Med Services. Save up to 70% on your prescriptions. Call 1-877-917-3600.
Log on to NewsTalk820.com.
Paying too much for your prescription medication? Call Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600. In their sixth year of saving customers money on medications, Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Guaranteed delivery. Government inspected and approved factories. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600.
Tampa Bay, log on to NewsTalk820.com.
A better way. You'll find it at Midas. It's the way we listen and do more than you expect. Come to Midas for an oil change and we'll rotate your tires and visually check your brakes. All for just $19.99. It's our way of keeping car maintenance simple and keeping you as a customer. People and prices you can count on. That's the Midas touch.
Up to 5 quarts conventional oil, taxes and synthetic extra shop fees may apply. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Henry Raine Show here at News Talk AM 820 WWBA. Jim Delgado in the studio. State Senator Paula Dockery running for the Republican gubernatorial nomination is with us. The campaign website is peopleforpaula.com. And if you go there, you're going to be able to look at some of the legislation she's sponsored, and it's quite a list of accomplishments. Just recently, this week, she had a sunshine bill get passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. But one thing, excuse me, because I want to move on to other issues. And let me give you a chance, though. Was there anything else you wanted to add to our audience about the education issue?
Well, let me just say this, that, you know, one of the reason there were so many problems with the bill, and I don't think we have time to enumerate all of them. But you know, one of the things we talk about in education is that there ought to be local control, and there are 67 locally elected school boards, and the challenges and problems and issues in Gilchrist County are not the same as the ones in Miami-Dade County. And so, for the state to start interjecting more control over education in the state of Florida is going in the wrong direction. I think that the principals or the CEOs of each school, they ought to be dealing with employment issues. I think that the county school boards ought to be setting policy for each of those school boards. They're more accountable because they're elected locally, and I think that we ought to recognize teachers for the professionals they are and not slap them with this kind of insulting legislation.
Well, as I said, if you go to peopleforpaula.com and you check the legislation, it's a long list of accomplishments. I said, but what stuck in my mind was this one that didn't pass. Voting conflicts prohibits a member of the legislature from voting upon or participating in any legislation that would result in the personal gain or loss of a member of his or her relative, business, associate, employer, board on which the member sits, principal by whom the member is retained, or parent corporation or subsidiary of such principles. I mean, that seems like a good ethical rule. Unfortunately, it didn't pass, but I use it to set up this next question because there was another contrast with your, as I said, gutsy vote on the education reform bill, is we had your opponent go out for a photo op to say he was joining the other attorney generals around the U.S. that were going to try and overturn the health care legislation. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I have no idea how you feel about the legislation itself. But how do you feel, two-part question, how do you feel about the state putting the effort in to overturn the bill? And secondly, are you concerned about the fact that your opponent picked his former law firm to receive a fee and assist the state?
I'll answer your second question first, and that is, yeah, I am concerned about that. And one of the primary reasons that I'm throwing my name in as governor, I have never had the ambition to run for a statewide seat. I would be term limited in 2012, and I was happy to go. I don't want to be a career politician. I was going to be happy to go home and live my happy life. But my favorite quote of all time is Edmund Burke, who says, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." And over the past 3 or 4 years, I've watched as the party that I belong to and the party that I love is doing some ridiculous things. And unfortunately, as with any corporation or company or group that you belong to, groupthink takes over and people go along to get along. And people, behavior that's questionable, that most people watching us can easily say that's right or that's wrong, we tend to lose that moral compass of what's right and what's wrong. And so people start doing things like giving a no-bid contract to a cozy relationship and think nothing of it. But out in the real world, when they see that happen, they know it's wrong, but we're losing track of what's wrong. And that's what I was trying to attempt with my conflict of interest bill. What you may not know is this is the third year in a row that I've tried this bill. It doesn't even have any punishment. It doesn't make it a misdemeanor. It doesn't make it a felony. It doesn't fine them. It doesn't even have a punishment. It just sets kind of a standard of conduct. Everybody should be for this. We should be sending the message that we in elected office should be held to a higher standard. 22 other states have it, and it's never even gotten a hearing in a committee. So am I concerned about my opponent doing that? Yes, but it's not unusual. It happens all the time, and that's one of the reasons, that's the primary reason I'm running. I want to fundamentally change the way that we do things in Tallahassee to win back the trust and dignity and honor of our government.
Senator, how about the first part about the lawsuit bringing by McCollum? 14, I believe, across the nations. I mean, are we ready for our tax dollars in these times to be used for litigation that every single academic or constitutional republic around the United States has said it's political only and it's not a viable based upon the Commerce Clause?
I would say that this is a popular political move by several attorney generals across the state. Attorney General McCollum had stated that he was going to take this route some time ago if the bill passed. For those Floridians who believe strongly that this is a bad bill, they see this as him fighting for their rights. I don't think it is going to have the result that they desire, but it's something he said he was going to do. My main concern was more how he's going about doing it rather than the fact that he is doing it.
I guess my question is, how is he going to let the people know that here's my ex-law firm, I'm going to give you your tax dollars, of which we don't have a lot of tax dollars to go around in our state right now.
Right. In defending his actions the other day on the floor when Senator Gelber tried to introduce an amendment that would preclude the Attorney General from being able to do this, Senator Thrasher stated that the amount that is being paid to defend this is equivalent to $19 an hour, which I found extraordinarily hard to believe that you're going to get any attorney at $19 an hour.
Senator, I'm an attorney. There's no way anybody's going to do anything for $19 an hour.
He lost me on that one.
We're speaking with State Senator Paula Dockery. She's running for the Republican nomination for governor. Her website is peopleforpaula.com. There is a chance to ask her questions at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. She'll be with us a few more minutes. Do you have any time after the quarter hour?
Sure, I can stay a little longer.
Okay, people get a little shy, but I see callers are starting to come in now. One more thing I want to talk about on the health care bill, it's got a lot of mandates for the state. And I, for disclosure to the audience, I asked off the air on this what the Medicaid requirement to qualify in this state. In the national health care bill, it's 133% of poverty level. But I have found the qualification here for Florida, which is $2,022 a month, which would be over $24,000, which I think is much higher, or at least in parity. But have you had a chance to look at the health care bill and see how, as governor, you would implement some of these mandates, how you're going to fund it?
Right. Well, first of all, I think people need to know that let's talk about what we're doing in Medicaid right now in the state of Florida. We have, as you probably know, 18 million residents in the state of Florida. 2.8 million of those 18 million are qualified for Medicaid. That's not including Medicare. That's just Medicaid. That is an unsustainable number. I'm not sure, and these are the numbers that need to be run with the new health care plan having passed, how that's going to affect that number. I don't know how they're going to add any more on there. I'm not sure that their qualifications in there are any higher than ours. So we'll have to wait and see when those numbers are run. But we cannot sustain the 2.8 million we have now. Now, let's talk money for the 2.8 million that we have now. That's $18.8 billion of our 60-something billion-dollar budget is going just to Medicaid right now in the state of Florida. And that's roughly $6,600 per person. And the state share of that is $6.4 billion. So the federal government is picking up $12.4 billion now. So the federal government has been paying the lion's share of our Medicaid costs and will continue to, I'm sure, under the new plan. But the devil's in the details, and we need to see when you bring in the new mandate what that's going to do to the 2.8 million that are eligible right now under Florida law.
And as you were speaking, I recalled a article about the health care bill, and I think our standard is a little bit lower because I think the current, for a family anyway, and that's where the detail escapes me, whether it's individual or family, at $29,000 is when the subsidies kick in when you go to the health insurance exchanges. And for people out there that are wondering how the health care bill will affect their finances, and you may look at this as a small business employer, Jim, at $29,000, your annual premium will be $1,200.
Right.
If you go to...
Well, as a small businessman, this helps me.
Right. Up to $88,000 right. for the family, you are,
right,
are capped out at a premium of 9.5% of your gross income, or which would be about... almost $9,000. That's cheaper than what people tell me that when they insure their employees and when they buy insurance. Because I've had people call this that are spending 20% of their income.
I'm a small businessman. This is going to save me money. I provide health insurance. This is a good thing for me.
And Henry and Jim, this is an interesting point, and this is an interesting political dilemma, which is that that even the people who don't like the health care bill, there are going to be things in there that they do like. And when those savings and when those good policies kick in, then the attempt to undo the health care bill is going to be tougher and tougher when people realize there's something in there for them. Because face it, most people can abandon political philosophy or their opposition to something when it benefits them personally. I mean, we're all like that. And I've noticed over my 14 years in the legislative process that people tend to vote their own pocketbook, not necessarily what's better for everyone, but their own pocketbook. And there's a lot in this bill that people are going to like. They're going to like that kids can stay on their health care plans until they're 26 and get out of college. They're going to like the no pre-existing condition. And they're going to like what you were just talking about and how it's going to have a positive effect on some small businesses.
We're speaking State Senator Paula Dockery. We're going to get one call in here before the break, and on the other side, she's graciously agreed to stay a few more minutes if you want to get a call in at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. Let's go to Charlie in Odessa. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie the plumber from Odessa. I have my own plumbing business. I'm like Joe the plumber, but I have a license. I'm a lot more conservative. I'm for term limits. You know what? This health bill, I hope that the state attorney general, that their lawsuit does go through. He has a very valid point. I mean, where's all this money going to come from when people don't have jobs and when they're not working? I mean, there's going to be a time where this tax money dries up. And you know what? There's only so much money to go around. What about tort reform? Why didn't these politicians put tort reform in there? These lawyers.
All right, Charlie, you have something for the senator.
Are the ones that are screwing everything up.
Charlie, you have something for the senator?
Good men doing nothing. Evil triumphs. It says nothing about women. Women have too much power.
Women
should not be.
All right, Charlie. Thank you.
Right.
Thanks for being patient. We got to go to break.
Women have too much power.
Enlightening, Senator.
What year is this?
I beg to differ with him about women having too much power. You don't see women rising to the levels that I think they're capable of, especially in the political process in the state of Florida. So I may beg to differ with Charlie the Plumber on that.
Well, as I told you, Senator, that you know you're talking to Jim and I, two yellow dog Democrats. But I will go this far. I say in November, let the best woman win.
Well, thank
absolutely.
You.
All right. On the other side, Steve, hang on, drive carefully. He's up there in Tallahassee. We got to get. Hey, Nick, can you hold the break and we'll get to him? I don't want him to wreck out there. Steve in Tallahassee, go ahead, please. Driving. Are you on I-10?
I am. I am on I-10.
Okay.
This is the first I've heard of Paula. I'm glad to hear that she is running. I'm not really familiar with her. So I just wanted to say that I am still in my 20s. I serve on my city council. I'm Republican and have been for many years. Very disillusioned with my party. That they don't seem to get things done and have gotten away from the Constitution. And I want to know how committed she is to the Constitution. And also, more importantly, I was really disappointed in Chris when he took the money from the government during the federal bailout. And I really haven't seen any results from it. What are you going to do to put people in the state back to work? Because I think ultimately that's what's going to pull us out of that slump is people getting back to work. We're Americans. When we have jobs, we'll go out and spend our money. But we got to have jobs first. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Drive carefully.
Great question, Stephen. And I'm glad you're paying attention. And please look me up on the website and get to know a little bit more about me. This is my first statewide run, but I think we can make this happen because almost everybody I talk to out there feels like you do, and they are distrustful of government. They're angry with their own party, and they don't think that people are that elected officials are listening to the people. How committed am I to the Constitution? Extremely committed. I carry a small printing of the Constitution in my purse at all times. I am a strong defender of Second Amendment. I'm a strong defender of the First Amendment, right to free speech. And I believe in state sovereignty, and I think that's the issue that the Attorney General might be going after in terms of the health care bill. I just don't think that he has as strong a constitutional argument as many who don't like the health care bill wishes that he did have.
We will
another
continue.
Part of that question I missed out on?
I think you gave us plenty. On the other side of the break, we can take some more calls at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. We'll also ask Senator Dockery about the high-speed rail and the deal in the Everglades with U.S. Sugar.
This portion of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by HurtByAccident.com. 1-888-280-HURT. Personal injury attorneys, they'll come to you.
Type it in, Tampa Bay, NewsTalk820.com.
If you've been hurt by accident, and it wasn't your fault, you should know that not all negligence claims end in going to court. Most accident claims are settled out of court. And just because you have insurance doesn't mean that you will be covered for your injuries. Health insurance won't pay you for lost wages. Health insurance won't pay to fix your car or even get you a rental car if you need one. Hi, I'm attorney C.J. Zaya. For nearly 20 years, my partner Kevin Gallagher and I have been helping accident victims get compensated for injuries caused by the negligence of others. And we do it for free, meaning there is no fee or cost to you unless we recover for you. Some attorneys charge you for their costs, not us. At Zion Gallagher, we charge you nothing. Our fee comes out of what we recover for you. Call us today, toll free, at 1-888-280-HURT. That's 1-888-280-HURT. At the law firm of Zaya and Gallagher, personal injury law is all we do. That's 1-888-280-HURT.
You're sitting in traffic, knowing what's coming up next because it's the same thing every day.
Yes!
Flip it to 8:20 a.m. WWBA for the big show.
I like the morning show. Keep us laughing.
I laugh a lot.
Hi, it's Mike Reeves, your host, along with Roger Shulman, Shayna Lance, and JoJo Walker of the best morning show in town. Local and national news, lots of laughs, and unlike our direct competition,
the hosts are not allowed to fall asleep on the air.
The Big Show in the morning on News Talk 820 AM. WWBA.
WTVA.
The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce invites you to the Hispanic Business Expo. This year at its new headquarters in the Hilton, Orlando on International Drive. There will be more than 300 exhibitors and much, much more. Admission is free. Bring the whole family from April 16th to the 18th at the Hilton, Orlando on International Drive. For more information, go to hbcexpo.com. Sponsored by Bright House Networks, Walt Disney World, the Orlando Magic, JetBlue Airlines, Orlando Health, and State Farm Insurance.
In the ongoing debate between mayo and Miracle Whip, you have a choice. And that choice is mayo or Miracle Whip. The default or the different. The tired or the tangy. Something that sits there or the one that stands out. So which way are you going to swing?
Just let it go.
Are you up for some sandwich kick and flavor? Are you Miracle Whip?
Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA. We're speaking with State Senator Paula Dockery. She is running for the Republican nomination for governor. PeopleForPaula.com. And I urge you to go there. Educate yourself and especially check out the list of legislative accomplishments there on the website. And lots of things here I want to ask about, but the one I got to take to the top of the list is... You got legislation passed to create a commission to study high-speed rail. You got legislation passed for Everglades restoration, but you're also critical of how the state executed this. Could you explain to the audience, please?
Well, sure. Let's take one at a time. On rail, and we need to be real careful here, I think a lot of people are confused as to where my position is on rail. The deal that was up before the legislature the past 2.5 years that I took a very strong position against and fought was not high-speed rail. It was a commuter rail project that would have covered 4 counties, starting in Volusia, going through Seminole, Orange, and ending in Osceola. It was called SunRail. It's not high-speed rail. It's a commuter rail project. And this is my involvement. It's a long story, but I'll try and make it very short. My hometown of Lakeland that I represent was going to be negatively impacted by freight moving from one line to another. When I started asking questions, I found out that the Florida Department of Transportation, an unelected bureaucracy, cut a deal with CSX behind closed doors that legislators didn't know about that would have paid CSX $641 million for 61 miles of track. When I started asking questions, I was getting stonewalled, and the interesting thing is I was serving on both the Transportation Committee and the Transportation Appropriations Committee at the time and had no idea that this was happening. In addition to overpaying them, we would be paying them $10.5 million a mile. The going rate nationally of purchasing track is $666,000 a mile, and here the Florida Department of Transportation was willingly paying, out of your tax money, out of all of our tax money, $10.5 million a mile. Then CSX would continue to be able to run their freight on the track we just purchased from them. They wouldn't have to pay property taxes on it anymore. They wouldn't have to pay to maintain and operate them, although we would probably hire them to maintain the tracks that we just overpaid them for. Then if that wasn't enough, CSX wanted us to absolve them of any liability, even if they were grossly negligent, and put it on the backs of the taxpayers of the state of Florida. And I thought that that deal just reeked of corporate subsidies and sweetheart deals and backroom dealing, and took it to the floor of the legislature, never imagining that I had a chance of winning it, beat back the special interest in the 2008 session against the governor, the Speaker of the House, the Senate President, went back for round two in 2009. The other side had 200 lobbyists. I had none. They had 4 PR firms. I had none. Beat them back a second time. And that's when there started to be a lot of people who were paying attention to me and encouraging me to run for governor, because they said, here's somebody who's willing to buck her own party and fight for the taxpayers. But that was such a bad deal that I couldn't even believe they had the nerve to bring it before the legislature and try and pass it.
We're speaking with State Senator Paula Dockery, Paula for PeopleForPaula.com. Excuse me, PeopleForPaula.com. Let's go to the phone line. Joe in Seminole, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Senator, I've got a question, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer. The compact that Governor Goober, I call him, signed with the Seminole Indians, your comments on that, and do you think it's a good thing? Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Well, that's the way I like it, nice and quick.
Was he asking about the Indian
yes.
gaming compact? Yeah, this is kind of where the deal has been over the past year. The governor entered into an agreement with the Indians to expand gaming in the state of Florida. The Indians wanted an exclusive contract, meaning that they would be the only ones being able to offer those games. The Senate, which is more moderate than the House, or at least it used to be, was of the position, if we're going to expand gaming in the state of Florida, we ought to allow those in the paramutuals to also offer it and not have it only be the Indians. The House takes a different standpoint, and that is they don't want increased gaming at all, regardless of it, if it's on the Indian reservations or whether it's elsewhere. So that's been three very diverse opinions which have been hard to bring together. I know that the key legislators on this have been Senator Dennis Jones on the in the Senate side and Representative Bill Galvano on the House side, and it's my understanding that they're coming to some sort of compromise. I think the House is giving in a little bit towards gaming because of their perceived need for more revenues in the state. So I think it's going to be something that closely follows what the Indian Compact was, but allowing the paramutuals and maybe some other businesses to expand their gaming in future years.
Yeah, I believe I saw Representative Galvano said that the paramutuals will get the electronic slot machine, something like that. I'm sorry, did you have a follow-up, Jim?
Senator, if I may make an observation, it looks like your party in this state has really, really just gone way right, and it seems like what you're talking about are more common sense, conservative values that they think they're talking about, but they're not, which is taking a very it's going to be a little unpopular. My question to you is, in your campaign, are you doing a lot of grassroots? Because what you're saying is really going to hit and mean a lot to Republicans who are between 45 and under. Are you? I mean, is that what you're thinking already?
And we have a minute and a half, so...
I'm doing a lot of grassroots. I have taken on the special interests. I'm not going to be the establishment candidate. I'm not going to be the special interest candidate. The younger folks do seem to be following me, and the older folks seem to be following me. My challenge is name recognition. I am common sense. I am principled, and I hate wasteful government spending. But I do consider myself conservative. I just consider myself... be using common sense in advancing those conservative principles.
For Republican, you're a breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with State Senator Paula Dockery. Check out her website for the gubernatorial campaign, peopleforpaula.com, and a heck of a career of accomplishments. I got to say that too. Senator Dockery, thank you so much. I hope you come back and educate us some more.
Thank you. Love to come back. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
I still can't believe she's got some guts in her. She's basically saying,
I told you.
The right wingers are going the wrong way, and this is the way we got to go.
All right, on the other side of the break, we'll look at healthcare and the world at war. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show.